to Cornelius, up to that point, there had not been a Gentile saved. It was only Jews. And Peter very reluctantly went to preach to Cornelius. It took a vision from God to convince him that that's what God's will was, because up to that point, the Jews would have nothing to do with the Gentiles. And even afterward, some of the disciples gave Peter a hard time for what he did until they found out that the Gentiles got saved. And then even after that, most of the disciples only preached to Jews. Of course, then God sent a man named Saul, who became Paul, who became the apostle to the Gentiles. And praise God for that, because I don't know, is there a Jew here this morning? Probably not. So we're all here because Paul went to the Gentiles. Amen? And here in Acts chapter 10, we have the recording of what happened after Peter obeyed God. God sent him a vision and said, I want you to go and preach to these people. Notice, we'll start in verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him giveth all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, because as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So I've entitled it, To Hear All Things. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, for your presence, and for your power upon this service. Use your word in our lives this morning to grow us, to change us, Lord, to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished in our hearts and lives. We give this service to you. We pray that each of us would come with an open heart, expecting to hear from you. And Lord, we would leave knowing that we've been changed by the power of your word. So we give this to you. We ask for your guidance. We ask that Jesus would be magnified, and we ask it all in his wonderful name. Amen. As I said, it's a beautiful passage, isn't it? And isn't it fascinating, just as a side note, that Cornelius wanted to find God. He wanted to find the truth, and God actually sent an angel to speak to him. Now, isn't it interesting that that angel could have preached the gospel to him right then? Think about it. He's already appearing to Cornelius. He's already coming in response to him crying out to find the truth. Why didn't he just give him the gospel right there and Cornelius could have just gotten saved right then? Instead, he said, God heard your prayers. You want the truth. I'm going to call a guy to come and preach the truth to you. Think about what that's telling us. That God's will is that people preach the gospel to people. That's why Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If God had wanted to preach the gospel through angels, he could have done it. But he didn't. Instead, he chose to use sinful man to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, there was this other lessons there. Peter needed to learn to open up a little bit and not be so prejudiced against the Gentiles and so forth. But God answered Cornelius' prayer by sending someone else to preach the gospel to him. And so we see here in verse 33 that these people, by the way, Cornelius didn't show up by himself. Even though God said, I'm going to send Peter to preach the gospel to you, it says here in verse 33, we are all here present before God. All of the people came. And Cornelius brought his family and his friends. He brought as many people as he could to gather together to hear what Peter was going to say. So even before he got saved, Cornelius was already interested in the welfare of others. Their spiritual destiny, if you will. But I just find it fascinating how God chooses to use people. If you look over in Acts 11, verse 12, when Peter was relating what had happened, notice 11:12, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. So notice, Peter is saying, God told me to do this. God sent me specifically to preach the gospel to Cornelius and whoever Cornelius, of course, had rounded up. And what we see in this passage is the simple progression of people hearing the gospel and getting saved. And the first step is always hearing the Word of God. That's where it always starts. The Bible says we're here to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. These people gathered together to hear what God had to say. And when a person gets saved, that's where it all begins. They've got to be willing to hear what God has to say, which is the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And you know, I believe there are people out there willing to hear. We just need to tell them. We need to find them and we need to tell them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that they then will, many of them will get saved. So notice it says in verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now it's in parentheses there, but Peter put that in there for a reason. Because these Gentiles, most Gentiles, and probably these included, were polytheists. They believed in multiple gods. And there's still people in the world today that do. But, of course, our Creator makes it clear that He is the only God, the only true God. And that to get saved, we have to start with the person of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? We have to understand that we're sinners, and that Jesus died on the cross for us, but we have to understand who Jesus was. And that's why Peter made it so clear. He is Lord of all. That makes him God. Keep your place here. Go to John chapter 8 if you would. Jesus Christ made a similar statement in John 8 where he made it clear that you cannot be saved if you're not willing to acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ as God. Notice John chapter 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. There's a lot of I ams in John chapter in the book of John. There's 12 of them, by the way. One of the I ams is found there in verse 58 of John 8, where Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now, when Jesus said, "I am," he knew exactly what he was saying. He was referring back to Exodus chapter 3 when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, "I am that I am." Jehovah appeared to Moses and said, "I am. That's my name." Jesus here is claiming to be the I am. And he says in John 8, "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." You cannot be saved if you do not believe in the person of Jesus Christ. If you just believe He was a good person, if you just believe He was an angel, if you just believe He was a man, you can't be saved. Because a man doesn't have the power to pay the price of all of men's sins and rise from the dead. Only God has that power. A man doesn't have the power to calm the seas. A man doesn't have the power to heal everybody that came to him. And of course, a man doesn't have the power to be the creator. And Jesus is the creator as well. And so Peter made it very clear. First, we must hear. Then, we must accept the person of Jesus Christ. And who? What did he do? Notice on down in our passage, Acts chapter 10, verse 39. Peter speaking, he says, "And we are all witnesses of all these things, which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." Here in Acts 10, 39 and 40. So he's making it very clear we must know who Jesus is and what Jesus did. What did he do? He died and he rose again. And didn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15 that that's the gospel? That Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures? Paul defines the gospel for us as just that. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter is now preaching to these unsaved Gentiles, Cornelius and his friends and family, and saying, Jesus is the Lord. And the Lord, the God of all, died on a cross and rose again. Well, that's the same thing we're supposed to be preaching. That Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again. And that he is God. So notice on down in verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness. If you study it out, every single Old Testament prophet had something to say about Jesus Christ. And we could take the next half hour and go through all of those, but we won't. But there will be others that we won't even know about until we get to heaven that Jesus revealed to the disciples there in Luke chapter 23. But he's making it clear to these unsaved Gentiles, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies of a coming Messiah, of one that would come and die for man's sin and rise again. He is the fulfillment. In other words, he is the one promised by our Creator in his Word. When we preach the gospel, what is our authority? What is our foundation? It's the Word. It's the Word of God. We're not just out there willy-nilly just telling people what we think they want to hear. We need to tell them what's in this book. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. That he rose again. That he paid for man's sins. That we're sinners and we deserve to go to hell. And Jesus Christ, as God, was the only one that had the power to accomplish such an amazing thing for man. Notice verse 43, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So, let's review the steps. We've got to hear the word. We have to believe on the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to believe the gospel, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. If we'll believe those things, and as it says here in verse 43, believe in him, place our faith in him, trust him, what will happen? Remission of sins. Salvation. That's what happens. Go to Ephesians 1, if you would, please. and verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, where God explains this progression as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So notice we've got trusting there in Ephesians 1:13. After what? You heard the word, the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed. So God there is likening trusting to believing because they're the same thing. But what do you believe? The gospel, which comes from the word of truth. And after you believe, it says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that's the progression. You hear the word of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, why Christ died on the cross, why he rose again, that as God he had the power to do those things for our sins. We trust what he did for us. We trust him as our Savior. And as it says here, we receive remission of sins. And then I love what happens in verse 44, Acts chapter 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. One thing I love about this verse is it makes it very clear that it's not prayer that saves. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't encourage people to pray to trust Christ. But it's not the prayer that saves. It's the faith that saves. Prayer doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. Amen? Think about that. Now, there's a group out there that don't believe that. And they think Romans 10:13 is all you need. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you can just convince people to pray a prayer, even coerce them into it, they're going to heaven. But that's not true. Because prayer doesn't save. It's when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus saves us. And here we have the first Gentile converts getting saved before there's even an invitation. Getting saved without even praying. Because what happened was, they're sitting there, they're expecting to hear the gospel. Peter comes and he preaches the gospel. And while he's preaching the gospel, they believe. And the Bible says, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible makes it very clear that if you have the Holy Ghost, you're born again. And if you do not have the Holy Ghost, you're not born again. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are not on the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Look at the last part, Romans 8, 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. And by the way, the converse is true. If you do have the Spirit, you are saved. They go hand in hand. We saw that in Ephesians 1. You become a Christian and God indwells you. You become sealed. You become indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. And it happened to these Gentile converts here in Acts chapter 10 while they were hearing the gospel. It's fascinating and beautiful. Now go to Acts chapter 11, just one chapter later, where Peter again is recounting what happened because, again, the disciples gave him a bit of a hard time later on. And notice here in Acts chapter 11, verse 16, Peter here, he says, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Here he's trying to convince Jews that it's okay the Gentiles got saved. Imagine that. And he's saying, if God chooses to give them the gift of salvation, to give them the Holy Ghost, Well, who am I to resist? It's God's will that everybody hear the gospel. And eventually they began to get it, but for the longest time, the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with Gentiles, even after all of this. So go back to our passage, Acts chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "And they of the circumcision, which believed..." Now remember, we read later where Peter said he had six others with him. So he didn't go into Cornelius' alone. He took six other Jews with him. And he says, "And they of the circumcision..." So he's talking about these six Jewish companions of Peter. He says, "They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." They were astonished. Imagine that. You mean Gentiles can be saved too? Praise God. We wouldn't be here if that weren't the case. But they were astonished. We thought salvation was only for the Jews. Those Gentiles, they're barely human. That's what they believed. Jesus even said, "Why should I take the bread and cast it to the dogs?" That's what Jews referred to Gentiles as, dogs. And they would, if they were going from point A to point B and there was a Gentile city in between, they would walk extra distance to go around a Gentile town just so they didn't have to go near them. That's what had happened to them in the 400 years of silence from Malachi until the time of Jesus. They had become so anti-Gentile. And so here we have these saved Jews astonished that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. By the way, speaking in tongues with the Bible, the word tongue means language. God gave them this miraculous ability to speak about God in other languages. No surprise. Then answered Peter, verse 47, "Can any forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" So I guess we have our answer about whether or not you're supposed to go to classes before you get baptized. Because there are Baptist churches that practice that. That say, "Oh, well, you can't just get baptized. You got to be discipled first, or you have to go through some classes or something. You can't just get baptized right after you get saved." Well, these did the same day. And what about the Ethiopian eunuch later on? Or earlier, sorry, in Acts 8. How long did he wait? He didn't. As soon as they could find some water, he got baptized. And so what we find here, we've got what it takes to be saved. First, you got to hear the word. You got to accept the person of Jesus Christ. You have to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what? Place your faith in Jesus Christ and you're saved. But we also find, what's the first step you're supposed to fulfill after you get saved? You get baptized. Peter said, "We need to baptize these people. They just got saved a couple minutes ago. Let's baptize them right now." Because you didn't have to understand the whole Bible to get baptized. You can understand it after you get baptized. Baptism was a public declaration. "I'm a Christian, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, and I'm willing to tell the world." I might not understand all the nuances of what baptism means, but that doesn't matter. What matters is the declaration. And so, first thing, let's baptize them. What did Jesus say? "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." In Matthew 28:19. So the Bible says, verse 48, "He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." You know what happens when people get saved? They have a hunger for the Word of God. Which is the second thing that should happen after you get saved. Is you should have a hunger for the Word of God. Which most Christians, that's what happens. The Bible didn't really mean a lot to you before you were saved, but after you got saved, all of a sudden, this book was exciting. And you wanted to read it, and you wanted to be in it. Because this is our food. And why did they want him to tarry certain days? Because they wanted to hear more. Go to 1 Peter 2:2 if you would. I think most of you know this verse. We just were in it Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. But this is one of the things that God commands for new Christians and older Christians alike, is that we desire the Word of God. Notice 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, what? That ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so we have recorded in this great event of the first Gentile converts, we have the simple progression. You hear the Word of God. You believe in the person and the purpose of Jesus Christ, why He came. He came to die for our sins, and He did. And He rose again after He was crucified on the cross. And we place our faith in the person of Christ as our Savior, as the one who can save us. And when that happens, the Bible says we are born again. It's about faith. It's about trusting the Lord. And God gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost when we get saved, just like He did then. What's the first thing God wants? Get baptized and desire the Word of God, which is exactly what these new converts did. Peter, we need to hear more now. Please stay longer. And he did. He did stay longer and he did disciple them. But what a beautiful thing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. These baby Christians needed to grow in the Word. So Peter stayed with them a little while. Then he had to go back to Jerusalem and answer to all the Jews as to why he actually went and spoke to Gentiles. And aren't you thankful that he did? Because it was the beginning of great things. And it wasn't long before there were more saved Gentiles than there were saved Jews. And here we are 2,000 years later. And how many Jews are saved? How sad. But they can still be saved. As can the Gentiles. They just need to believe after hearing the precious Word of God. So it should encourage us about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Word of God. That's what people need to hear. And it should also remind us that it isn't prayer that saves. Now, don't misunderstand me. Every person I've ever led to the Lord, I encourage them to pray, to trust Christ. But it's not that prayer that saves. It's the faith that saves. It's Jesus that saves. And that faith that's placed in Jesus Christ, we typically do through a prayer. But here we have God recording for us these converts. They were listening. They were intently waiting. They were expecting. And as Peter was preaching the gospel to them, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them. I think that's beautiful and should remind us of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's share it, because look what it can do. It saves souls. Praise the Lord.